from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Okay, and I'm assuming that we are going out. Cliff, are you out there?
I am out here, or I'm here, or I don't know if here is out or not.
All righty. Anyways, welcome to the program. We're broadcasting 1 hour early today. We're doing like a midweek program as we are continuing our efforts to try and improve our audio so people can hear this instead of... which also works a lot better unless you speak woodkey. What's that?
I say you do that very well, the messed up audio.
Yeah, I don't need any help from the technology to do the messed up audio.
Well, what are we going to talk about today? Anything?
Actually, I do have a couple things. For one thing, we have another death. Another celebrity died today. And
really?
That would be Donna Summer.
Who died yesterday?
I don't know. I just found out.
Yesterday. Saw all the flags were at half mast or day before yesterday, one or the other.
It was Tuesday.
Tuesday. I don't know. Did somebody die without permission?
I don't know. I know Donna Summer died today. That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
She really wasn't that old, was she?
I believe she was 67 or something like that. I'm looking it up right now. She did die of cancer. I know that much.
Yeah.
And
well, we haven't heard from her for a while. That's too bad.
63 years old.
63, yeah. Nowadays, that's not that old.
No, and it's not that much old. Well, that's what, younger than you and 7 years older than me?
You're that young, huh? You little young chick, I tell you. Because I'm ancient, yes. It won't be very long before I'm 70. A few years.
Oh, yeah, just 70.
Well, 70 is old when you're getting as old as I am.
Yeah, you're still alive. You're going to be around annoying people for years.
That's interesting. Weird things are happening when you speak. Your first word was echoey, and the rest of them weren't.
Well, I moved the microphone over so Richard can share it. What I'm going to do is, if you want to talk for just a minute, I'm going to grab the other mic, and that way we'll have two mics up here.
Okay, I'll talk for a minute. I have no idea about what, but I'll talk for a minute. It's
I know you hate it when I do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do
it
too. And not only that, I wasn't prepared to go yet, and so I don't have anything to drink. My mouth is dry, and I'm dying. I'm not doing well at all. But anyway, other than that, I'm okay. I didn't know we were going to start up a show in almost, 10 minutes after I got on to talk to you. We usually spend an hour or two talking ahead of time before the show starts and getting an idea of what we want to talk about. We never really say to each other what we want to talk about because we want to surprise each other as to what's going to happen next. But we do spend some time talking to each other before the show, and as a matter of fact, quite often talking for quite some time after the show. But anyway, have you put things into place yet?
Well, I guess once again, but nothing
happens yet. Well, that's weird now. I don't hear your volume levels way down low.
Okay, I'm trying on the other mic, but apparently my mic's dead.
Mic's dead?
The one that she's trying, anyway.
Your microphone's with with batteries in it. All my microphones have batteries in them, so I don't know if yours do or not.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. There we go. Okay, hang on. Test it. Test this. Test it.
Well, this is definitely a test show.
On your test. Anything coming in on this side?
Hello, I'm hearing you. It's a different sound to it than the other one, but I'm hearing you just the same.
I think I got some dead channels on my mixer.
I thought you decided that a long time ago.
Yeah, but not on the mic inputs.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I have no idea. My mix. I'm very fortunate. My mixer works and has worked all along from day one, and haven't had any problem with it.
You're not supposed to be. Okay, sorry about that.
Ah. Feedback.
Feedback. Okay. Well, I don't know if it's a microphone itself, but there. Okay.
Your cord might be.
Yeah, my cord might be. This is the secondary mic here. I
do have a bad connection somewhere because for a while it's distorted and then it cleans up. And
it's okay. There we go. Yes. Okay, I think I'm on here, and Richard, I think, is on the other microphone.
I think I'm on the other microphone. Can you hear me?
He sounds better than you do.
So we're back. So again, folks, bear with us. This is an unscheduled test program. We are trying some different things to see if we can get better and more reliable audio quality. This is me doing my jury rig ideas. And sometimes you just have to be creative to get things to work. And as we've determined in the past, that whichever calls in on the host number is makes a huge difference. So like I say, I won't go into details at the moment. But hopefully, Cliff can hear me okay right now.
I can hear you. You sound a little bit more muffled than usual, but then that could be just because we're both calling in on the telephone instead of any one of us being in on live radio, so to speak.
Well, how about this now? Because I'm on a different channel on my mixer, so I just dropped down some of the levels.
Maybe you've just got the EQ set different. Is all.
Well, that's what I'm asking right now. Bring the EQs up.
Turn the bass as far down as possible.
Okay, my bass is. My bass is as much as possible.
That's better.
I can say, there's nothing wrong with having fun, folks. You know, if you have me listening to this or on the archives, whatever, it means that we're not all business. Well, anybody who's listened to the program for a long time knows we're not all business. So,
gotta have fun.
We gotta have fun.
All work, no play makes us dull.
Exactly. So, now, like we mentioned earlier, Donna Summer dying, and 63 years old, and, you know, her battle with cancer. And it's, you know, all the greats are going at a very early age, or at least, to us it's early age.
Well, that's the case. I mean, the greats are not going at an early age. It's just that we're getting to the age that they're all going.
That's true. And from our point of view, or at least from my point of view, because the great ones, I don't think there's that many coming up and running, but then again, I don't kind of stay up with a lot of it either, you know, who replaces these people.
Well, if you're thinking in terms of like singers such as she was, there's a lot of new singers coming up, but they're really young. I mean, look at the American Idol winners. We've got several American Idol people that are singing in the future, but are singing at the moment, and they're just real young. We're not going to be worried about losing them for a long, long time. But the people that have been around for a while, I mean, let's face it, the disco era is quite a while ago.
Okay, I was just unplugging something, get rid of a little bit of the hum there. No, I totally agree. But like I say, I'm not into as much as I used to be, so I don't know who the great ones are anymore. But, yeah, you know, I suppose like the Lady Gagas and stuff like that would be the ones taking over.
And they've got quite a ways to go, the Lady Gagas, and they're all fairly young. Well, they're not quite as young as I used to think they were, but they are still pretty young. I know when I start listening to music and the different music shows and things, I get totally lost as far as what the music is. I'm way out of it. I'm way behind.
You know, speaking of, I can't believe that I sounded like my parents. I can't believe the type of music that kids are listening to these days. I actually finally sing it.
Actually,
by the way, speaking of Lady Gaga, did you realize that she had to cancel one of her concerts recently?
Why?
She's over in Indonesia, and they said because of the way that she dressed and, you know, how, like over here, sex, big deal on stage to us, but they're afraid that it's going to contaminate and give the youth of people over in Indonesia the wrong ideas.
Well, yeah, let's face it, they're so far... Well, I was going to say they're so far behind. That's not true. They do things so differently. I mean, Indonesia, you're talking about a place where women still wear veils and things like that. So I wouldn't surprise me a bit. I'd be surprised at all that she thought she would be able to get to do a concert there in the first place.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, you'd think they would know that before they scheduled it. But they were saying on the news that there are people that were actually, of course, over there, violence, any excuse for it, but they were actually going to get violent and not even allow her on the stage at all. But they decided to cancel the concert, and I believe there's I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head. But the huge amount that they had to refund the money on because of canceling this program.
Oh, well, it doesn't mean anything to them. Lady Gaga has so much money, she'll never know what to do with it, I'm sure. So I'm sure it's not going to be a big thing. I just, you know, it's sort of silly to think that you can go to some of these other countries. A lot of countries I wouldn't think would be able to do one of her concerts, for heaven's sake. She's controversial in almost every place, let alone in the places where controversy is more prominent, shall we say. I don't know.
Well, and that's true. And in fact, you know, where Lady Gaga started from, I thought about doing something similar, but reverse psychology. I have people pay me not to go on stage.
I haven't bothered to try going on stage to find out one way or another, believe me.
And tonight, not appearing on stage due to popular demand.
And your gracious donations.
And your gracious donations, exactly. But no, it's kind of. I mean, you got to give the gal credit for, the image that she created for herself, what she made for herself, you know, by stepping outside the norm. Same thing like what Kiss did. You know, they went to the extreme, and look where it got them.
Well, Madonna was more to the point with the ladies going into extremes, and she didn't try to go to places like that, I don't think.
Yeah, but, you know, with Madonna, though, there is something that is holding against her, and that is after she's already had a couple kids, when she gets on the stage and sings like a virgin, somehow it just doesn't have the same impact.
Well, but
yeah,
she was the one...
Go ahead. That kind of makes the situation bad where you got kids and you're singing like a virgin, because, you know, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
Well, you can,
like a virgin, having sex for the 15th time.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, just because she sings about a virgin, sings like a virgin, doesn't mean she has to be one. I mean, that's like saying you don't know anything about sex if you've never done it. You can know everything about sex without having done it.
Okay.
But you never really know until you've known it.
That's not true. I know how it works, why it works, what it does, without having done it.
And
the outcome is what matters.
Exactly. And if anybody's looking for a lesson, you're going to have to change channels. We're not going to get into details here, folks, because I want to maintain my, you know, we have a mature rating. Even some of us won't go so far.
Well, I'm a virgin, you see. I know what it's like.
But that's an old comment.
What?
Anyways, if anybody's listening, if you want to join us, 646-721-9887. We are kind of doing a unscheduled midweek program. 646-721-9887. The chat room is open. And no real serious topic today. Just we're just trying different things to kind of see if we can get the problems worked out. We are working with Blog Talk Radio on this, and kudos to them for at least asking us to help out. So, and then they're probably getting tired of hearing from me. 646-721-9887. If you happen to be looking for something to listen to, come join us. Dial in. Anybody can do it. You have a telephone. You have a computer.
You can do it.
You're listening to us. And besides that, Cliff's still half asleep and he hasn't had his coffee yet, so he's all easy.
I haven't got anything. I haven't thought of anything to say or anything to talk about. I mean, I've got things online to talk about, and they're there, but it's totally different for at this particular point.
I do have a topic that I was thinking about making it for our normally scheduled program. I'll throw out there. And the question of when is health insurance through a company not health insurance? As I'm finding out that the insurance that I have through the company that I'm working with is actually becoming more common, as I've talked to two other people, two different companies that have similar. And what I'm talking about is the trend of companies offering insurance, but in order for the insurance to kick in to help out, you have to meet a very high deductible. Like my insurance, I have to meet a $2,300 deductible before they pay a dime. So in a sense, it's like not having insurance, and that deductible resets at the end of the fiscal year.
That assumes, of course, that you're not going to have any out-of-pocket anything unless you're, you know, really fatally disturbed or hurt or ill or something. I mean, $2,300 is a lot of month. A lot of money. I pay a lot of money out of pocket in prescriptions for things and various and sundry things because I've had quite a bit of problems, health problems. But I don't even pay that much a year. $2,300. God, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Let's see, we just lost one of our connections here.
I wouldn't be able to pay that anyway because $2,300, that's a significant portion when you're living on Social Security. That's a significant portion of what you have.
Finished, press the pound key.
They're quitting on us?
Well,
I'm sorry, but I did not hear you press at least four digits of your PIN number.
That's because I didn't.
Our menu has recently changed. Please listen carefully.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now. Connecting you now.
Connecting you now. Connecting you now. Connecting you now. Connecting you now. Connecting you now. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stay there. Well, they have it on the control. You bring your mouse up to there and it opens up something and you're chasing it trying to catch it. And it won't let you do it. But it's kind of interesting that it's kind of interesting, though, that it disconnected and we didn't disconnect. I can't get into details, but the fact that it didn't, what I'm trying to say is that Cliff and I are calling in on the caller numbers using Skype, and Skype didn't disconnect. The other one disconnected, which is a Blog Talk Radio thing. So Once again, that kind of narrows it down to what our theory is that it's not on our end.
Well, I've assumed that all along. So it's just ridiculous, the things that are going on. That I don't know what it must be very difficult what they're doing on their end of things to try to get things to work at all and to work with as many people as we've got going on in here now. Blog Talk keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't know how many people are associated with Blog Talk by now.
Yeah, I don't know. I know it's in the thousands, and you know they got over 100 servers trying to do all this. But you know, maybe it's time for them to upgrade. I don't know. Like I say, I don't know that much about their backbone and how it's working, but.
I do know one thing right now. I just discovered that the world is not going to end on December 21st, not even according to the Mayan calendar, because people were looking at the wrong Mayan calendar. If you look at the Mayan calendar, the oldest known Mayan calendar in existence, which was recently discovered by Boston University archaeologist William Saturno, anyway, the Mayan calendar goes on almost indefinitely. I mean, we don't have an end to it at this particular point. You can keep counting it on and counting it out forever and ever. And I thought I was trying to figure out why it would end someplace. It doesn't make any sense. But we've had a bunch of people who have said because the Mayan calendar that they were looking at ended on at a certain time. I think it was December 21st or something like that of 2012. That the world is going to come to an end. Well, the calendar doesn't end there. It continues on, and so we're not going to come to an end. We're going to go forever, forever and ever. In fact,
well, like what I think is it's probably just, well, first of all, I think it's kind of interesting because they suddenly discovered something, you know, that at the last minute, hey, look, we made this recent discovery. It's not going to end. But personally, my theory is, and maybe this would be a good skit, is, you know, two people are one guy's working on the Mayan calendar, and it's like, hey, honey, how much longer are you going to do this? You already worked it up to the 21st century. When are you going to stop? How far do you need to go? We're not going to be around then.
That's true. That's true. But the thing is, if you've got a formula for how the calendar works, regardless of whether you've worked that formula out and done it or not, it's still the same formula and it still continues to work. And the Mayan calendar goes on for octillions of years in the future. And it's not even something that we can figure out. Billions and trillions and octillions, it's going to go on forever. It would make sense that they would do that. It wouldn't make sense that they'd put an end to it just because the person doesn't fully fall out of, you know, if they haven't made it on a piece of paper past a certain time, that doesn't make sense to me at all.
It's easy for you to say.
Actually, obviously it's not.
Anyway, 646-721-9887. Anything goes today. We're just basically chopping. Yes.
You got to talk. I got to get something to drink.
Okay. I can do that.
Well, we can talk.
We can talk, too. We can talk amongst ourselves. So, hi, Richard. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today. I'm here with you, awesome person, and I think this is really cool being here in this studio here with you.
That's right. I pay him to say that, too, by the way.
No, you haven't paid me nothing. This comes from the heart.
But, yeah, we're just, and you're doing pretty good. You're pretty comfortable in front of that microphone there.
I'm feeling pretty comfortable here. I'm thinking maybe you might have some competition here.
I better watch what I say. I'll be throwing out a studio.
That's right. But 646-721-9887. If you've never called a talk show before, this is a good forum to do it. You just dial that number. You can listen to the program live, by the way, by dialing that number during the broadcast time. And when you decide that you want to join the program, just push 1. On your there's a phone call right now. Wrong line, but phone call right now. Anyways, you just push 1 on your touch tone, and it comes up on my board, and I say, welcome to the program. But today we're just kind of, like I said, this is an unscheduled program. We're just trying a few things to see what will work, what won't work, and doing other experiments too. So bear with us. But again, if you'd like to join in, have some fun, 646-721-9887.
Let's have fun.
There you go.
Okay, I'm back.
Life can't all be serious all the time.
It can't.
We're so serious.
Depressing.
Exactly. And out of curiosity there, Cliff, I'm also recording the program. Just kind of see how that works out. And there's something I wanted to try while we're broadcasting because I discovered something on my software here. And I guess I need
persistent.
Well, I need to grab the phone for just a minute, so I'll let you and Richard talk for a second.
All right. Okay. So how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. Are you a truck driver too?
No, I'm a friend of Robin's.
Okay. Okay. At least we're not going to sit here and spend the entire hour talking about trucks. That's all that I worry about. it kind of leaves me out.
We can talk about trucks. I love trucks. I'm not a truck driver.
Well, I'm not a truck driver. I don't like trucks, so.
What's that?
I'm left completely out in the cold when everybody's talking about trucks. I know very little about them other than the fact that I happen to be very annoyed by them when they're on the highways. I really think that trucks themselves should be limited to short hauls from the railroad to different places, and we should send everything on railroads. This business about sending trucks over the freeways is just ridiculous. It does a lot of things. It destroys our roads for one thing and gets in the way of people driving for another thing. So that's my opinion, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, that's a good opinion to have, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what the show's all about, I guess, is calling in and speaking your opinion.
That's right, and they do that by dialing 646-721-9887. By the way, you can also send us an email, too, talk@krbnradio.com. One of the things I wanted to kind of try here, Cliff, as I'm recording the program as a backup, is I discovered something that I think this will do. And so I'm going to play a quick little audio while this is still in record mode and see if it'll work. So bear with me on that.
If you could change anything about the first lady job, what would you do?
We can't, like, sneak out often on our own without security and motorcades and people with us, right? It's hard to sneak around and do what you want. I've done it a couple of times. But, you know, one fantasy I have, and the Secret Service, they keep looking at me because they think I might actually do it, is to walk right out the front door and just keep walking.
And, of course, we'd like you to do that and take your husband with you.
Who was that speaking?
That was Michelle.
Okay. She hasn't been there long enough to worry about sneaking out the front door. I mean, good Lord, if you don't want to be penned in, don't marry, you know, divorce the guy and get out.
Well, you know, they are saying, though, that Obama is the first gay president now.
Oh, I know. That's another story entirely. Just that was, okay. And I don't want to say that because I disagree with that. I mean, if he isn't,
there was actually a guy on one of the talk shows that came up and said of course he was also plugging his book. He said he actually had a weekend before the president was the president, but he actually had a weekend with the president, who I think was a senator at the time.
He was 14 years old and all kids try it. That's ridiculous.
I didn't try it. Did you try it?
I'm going to try it. Let's get Mikey. He might try it. He'll try anything.
Very good.
That's life.
That's good.
Well, the whole thing about him, he was tagged as a the gay president by Newsweek magazine. They put it on there, and of course everybody picked it up and started talking about it after that. And they were thinking about something else entirely. The fact that he mentioned it and he changed his opinion about gay marriage. That's ridiculous. As far as we shouldn't be even worrying about that. Whether you're worried about gay marriage or not is another thing entirely. Gay marriage, the religions don't have to go for it if they just, you know, it has to be legal is all. And you can call it something else if you want to.
Well, I think that's kind of interesting about that is that, he's already upset the Catholic Church with with the saying about the condoms, and now coming out in support of gay marriage is, you know, upsetting the Christians like crazy. So from a tactical point of view towards his election, actually I'm very surprised that he would do that, because you would think that you'd want the full support, and with the controversies over that, because every time they try to pass gay marriage, for example, the majority of the voters say no.
Well, I think that it's good that he's upsetting them all. Let's face it, if you upset everybody equally, then you've upset nobody at all.
That's right.
I'm an equal opportunity offender.
Yeah, there you go. So maybe he's got something there. Maybe he's going to accomplish something with that.
I don't know. I mean, at least it brings it to the forefront. Or is it, like I've said before, a magician's trick where, hey, look what's going over here in my right hand, but don't look at what's happening in the left hand?
Well, that's what he's trying to do.
That's good.
Really?
Get your mind.
I think a good strategy to go for myself, and that's about the only thing he can go for that's going to help him get elected. He doesn't have much of any other leg to stand on. He's done so much already, spent so much money, and done so many things that he's, you know, that was hearing on the radio this morning, as a matter of fact, that everybody's worried and so upset about how much money he spent. Actually, Reagan was the one who's the president who spent the most money as far as percentage, increasing our deficit, our budget, by three times, where Obama has only increased it twice. But you'd think that by now somebody'd realize you got to stop spending. You got to put it to order there. You've got to get it in line so that you don't spend more than you bring in. Nobody else can do that.
Well, and if you recall the Cold War, the only reason why that we won the war against the Russians is because they ran out of money.
Then they didn't know how to do it right.
Yeah, because money isn't ammunition. Ammunition's ammunition.
Yeah, the fact that the money means nothing to do with it. You can print money, but so consequently, they just didn't do it right. They gave up, I think.
Yeah, the Federal Reserve very quickly learned the computer term copy and paste.
Yeah. Yeah, the simple fact is we've got 500 million people sitting here, and we can tell them what to do. And you've got money, and you've got ammunition. You can make ammunition. You can make ships. You can make airplanes. Just as long as you've got people to do it, and you've got people in 500 million of them, you can go for a long time. And I don't know what the population of Russia was at that particular time, but they had a lot more people that they could tell what to do.
Well, you know, and speaking of the wars and stuff, as everybody knows, I'm a talk show junkie, and somebody brought up a point, and I got thinking about this. We've isolated ourselves as a nation from war, except for the people that are actually over there in the war. I can't remember which world war it was. Was it whether it was World War One, or whatever, where the people got involved. You know, we built factories, we recycled metal. There's constantly the ads about buying government bonds to help fund the war effort. My point is that America, as individuals, were more involved in the war effort than we are now. Now it's just like the president gets on the news and says, we're sending so many so many troops overseas to do this. It's like, okay, unless you're the person or have a child that's going over there, you and I, it doesn't affect us directly. And maybe
well,
it should.
Back at in those days, I've been listening to all of these old-time radio shows at night, and they go on the air and ask people to help do things. They go on the air and ask people not to buy oil. They go on the air and ask people to sit up on top of hills and be spotters for airplanes and such. And they asked for the help of the people. We're not asking for it now. And so, assumedly, we don't need it.
Well, I mean, you make a good point, but you know, I personally think it should be, if it was more in your face, then maybe there'd be more of an outcry when we when the U.S. gets involved in something.
Well, but that's my the point is, it's not on our face because we're not really in a war. We're not really in anything. We're going out and looking for things to get involved in, and that's what we've got to stop. We've got to bring that money home and bring those people home, and that's what we've got to do because we don't need to go out and look for things to happen to us.
Yeah.
There's enough that happens to us already right here at home.
Exactly.
Right. We don't need to go out and look for more. So we've got hundreds of thousands of people out there in warland, shall we say, wherever they happen to be, and we should be bringing them home and putting them on the border of Mexico and getting that thing straightened out and doing straightened things at home. We've got lots of things we could do right here at home and that we aren't doing now.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. And in fact, we've talked about this in the past. It's pretty hard to go. We very easily go to other countries and help them protect their borders, but ours are like Swiss cheese.
Yeah, really.
And not as tasty.
No.
But something I want to throw in there real quick. I haven't heard this much in the news lately, but the Trayvon Martin George Zimmerman case.
Yes.
There is some new development on it. Zimmerman is being charged with second-degree murder now for the shooting of Trayvon Martin. And what's interesting is that they're still claiming him as a white Hispanic. I never heard of a white Hispanic before. But they said that, as they're releasing information, that there's evidence that he was punched in the face. His head was bashed on the sidewalk. He had two black eyes, broken nose. And so, again, we don't know what pursued to get to that point, but that's probably why Zimmerman shot Martin at that point. You know, he's getting the crap beat out of him, and that's why they're saying self-defense.
At this time, this whole point is a political point. Our whole problem is that the president got involved in this and escalated it to all kinds of extremes. It should be sitting in back and we don't know what happened, what took place. We don't know if he did something wrong or right or whatever because we don't have access to any of the facilities of the authorities that were involved with this sort of thing. We don't have the police reports and all these investigative reports that are going on, I'm sure, and they're not made public policy at this particular point, public opinion, but we're still... We've got our media that have got to say something about it, and so they'll make things up, and that's what's going on at the moment, I think. But it all starts because Obama put his face in there. He should not have ever even brought that up.
Totally agree with you. Right now, there's Zimmerman's attorney received 67 compact discs and documents that include police reports, photos of the shooting scene, cell phone records for Trayvon and Zimmerman, and a video from the 7-Eleven and the neighborhood clubhouse nearby the scene of the shooting. But you are absolutely right, because the White House has been very quiet on this, and with the threats, the bounty on Zimmerman's head, is that if something happens to him, like say he's found totally innocent and somebody takes it upon themselves to kill him, the president needs to be held accountable for, like you said, opening up his mouth, being totally irresponsible, because otherwise it would have just been a local case and nobody even know about it.
That's right. Absolutely true. And I agree that we should hold him responsible for whatever happens and whatever takes place in this particular case. Perhaps a lot of things that he's opened his mouth about and said something about, but he doesn't. He doesn't think. His thinking process is not good.
You're talking about Obama's, right?
Obama's thinking process is okay when he's on teleprompter. Then what he says means something, except that he doesn't mean it, and so consequently it doesn't happen. So there's virtually no redeeming qualities. He should be sitting in a little room, kept quiet, period.
Well, he's just a puppet.
That's my problem, that he is a puppet. But the things that he says, the American public has a tendency to believe because it's the president. And consequently, they're believing in nothing.
Well, America has to believe nothing they hear and half of what they see.
But they don't do that. They selectively believe certain people, and they believe the president. And so the president has a lot more reason to be more legitimate about anything he says than the rest of the world. Anything the president says is going to be taken literally. And so consequently, he should not even be saying anything unless he knows literally it's the truth, or unless he's equipped or prepared to make it the truth. And he doesn't. He doesn't care what he says. He just says anything that comes up and then just lets it go.
Well, and like, these are unconfirmed allegations. While Obama was running for office, for example, that I believe it was Jeremiah Wright, he was bribed by Obama for $150,000 to keep his mouth shut until after the election.
Yeah, well, it's the wrong person got the bribe.
Yeah, exactly.
The person that should have been keeping his mouth shut is Obama.
Well, I just hope that people, because there's still a huge amount of supporters, I hope people learn from this. You know, like Cliff, like you've admitted that, you know, what can one person, how much damage can one person do in 4 years? But, you know, I'm hoping that people will, you know, in fact, I'd like to see this brought up more on the news media to remind people, especially as we get into the elections, and get off the fact that, you know, Romney had a dog on his roof and Obama ate a dog, and now, you know, 50 years ago that, you know, Obama, cut somebody's hair. It's like, you know, we need to stay on to the issues, remind people of what's going on. And I like to see the Romney campaign. Now, you might have heard it because you have an opportunity to listen more towards the news on this, but I haven't heard Romney really bringing out all that stuff about Obama, but I could be wrong.
I think Mr. Romney is kind of waiting. He's keeping the good stuff in tow for when he's head-on-head with Obama. Because at this particular point, he's not even positive that he's going to be the Republican nominee. He's pretty sure, and it's probably 90% that he is, but it could possibly be Ron Paul. It could possibly be just about anybody Republican National Committee at their meeting, and they could pick anybody to be the running mate, and I guess
the running mate,
running not running I'm sorry, he's not the running mate. If you're running against him, I guess he's, I'm sorry, giving him, running with him. But he's...
You can probably run with him. Have you picked a running mate yet?
Yeah, really. I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of good people that... Because a running mate makes a difference as well, you know.
Yeah.
I think Ray Stevens would be a good running mate.
I think a woman would be a good running mate.
Well, we've got a woman that's in political office at the moment that was very close to becoming president, and I think she had done a better job by far than because at least she had been there and seen what's wrong and what's not to do, and she didn't go in totally unprepared. If we'd been better off if we'd had her instead of getting Obama.
Well, and talk about thank goodness. Who's the candidate that was cheating on his wife?
Clinton?
Edwards?
Who wasn't?
Yeah, exactly.
The American way.
And can you imagine if Al Gore actually was successful in his bid? I mean, look what Al Gore turned into after the elections.
We would have found out all kinds of more things that he invented.
That's right. He did invent the Internet.
Amongst other things, yes.
Amongst other things. But yeah. But no, I mean, his policies on global warming and everything, if he actually would have got into power to do something about that, we'd all be driving electric cars. And if you saw any of his videos, living in la-di-da land.
Well, I wouldn't be too upset as that.
Yeah, you'd have to be growing your vegetables and stuff on top of your roof because you'd have an all-green roof.
Well, that wouldn't be so bad either.
No.
I wouldn't.
The roof collapses because of weight.
As long as they have a decent set of stairs to get up there with.
That's right. Excuse me, honey, I got to go mow the roof.
There are a lot of people who do that, and I admire them, the people who have the stamina to get up and do something different like that. There's nothing wrong with having a sod roof. Not everybody can have it, I don't think, because I don't know how that I guess they could if you get right down to it. And there's nothing wrong with it myself, I don't think.
Well, I'm actually growing a crop right now on the roof of my house. It's called Oregon moss.
Yeah, that's hard to get everywhere.
Yeah, in fact, I got to share this quick little story with you, everybody. First of all, 646-721-9887. There is 11 minutes left in the program. Give us a call. This is a Bill Engvall moment, you know, with the here's your sign. Is I'm up on the roof, and I got the moss kill spray, and I'm just, you know, sprinkling the roof like crazy, and the neighbor comes out and goes, oh, killing the moss on your roof? Nope. Sprinkling, just trying to make it look softer. Here's your sign.
Yeah. Yeah, that's make it look greener.
Yeah, make it look greener, you know, like putting makeup on, you know, a little bit of powder or something like that.
Actually, fertilizing the moss to make it grow
fertilizer.
We want bigger moss up here.
No, just hanging out here, spreading powder all over the place. No, I'm killing my moss. Thank you very much. I like to keep my roof somewhat leak-free.
Yeah, the way make roofs are ridiculous. If we had started out with using the moss in the first place and having a sod roof, we wouldn't have had to worry about any of this stuff as far as because it would repair itself, more or less. It would keep itself green and keep itself going, and we wouldn't have to worry about it, I don't think. We would have had to have stronger roofs, though, to begin with.
Oh, that's true. Because originally my roof had the tar and gravel, which I think is the dumbest idea in the world. But and that soon got changed. So they leak. They're bad. They're hard to maintain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that we should go back to what we had originally that lasted for a long time, and they're going back to it a lot, is metal roofs.
I'm not living in a cave. They don't
that should be best. But they had metal roofs for a long time, and they're going back to having more and more metal roofs that they're putting on places now. And they last for a lot longer, you know, than the regular roofs. You figure if you're going to live in one house for your lifetime, you'll put three roofs on there in your lifetime, where with the metal roof, you would only have to do one.
That's true. Then you just have to worry about rust.
No, you don't. You don't. You make it out of stainless steel.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I have seen. I've actually seen some pretty good looking metal roofs, but no, it's just kind of interesting. You know, if you're living in the Oregon, or what I call the land of Atlantis, that you're gonna be dealing with rain, and that's what's so funny about, you know, people come here from other places and they go, you know, this is really a beautiful country. It's all green and lush. And then they find out why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you like water sports, come down.
This is the Oregon Rainforest.
That's right.
That's exactly what it is. And I lived also in the desert, so I've seen both. And I don't know which one. It's certainly nice to see the green and all the stuff that the water brings about, but it's also awfully nice not to have the water to worry about. And there are other things that are naturally just as pretty as the green.
Well, the other thing that people find out too, and went to Jerry's, had this conversation. I didn't go to Jerry's just to have this conversation, but we had this conversation while at Jerry's, is that in the Willamette Valley, which is the alternate, the Indians used to call it, what, Valley of the Death or something like that, that if you live here for 2 to 3 years, you have an 80% chance of developing hay fever.
Really?
Yeah.
Or you just get sick of it.
Or that too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you have any more of a chance of getting hay fever, because so far I've lived in three different areas, Washington, Oregon area for one. Then I lived down in the Mojave Valley, Mojave Desert, and they have the same thing down there, that you get same problems with hay fever and different things in that area. It doesn't make any difference where you live. They all say the same thing.
Well, a lot of people I've talked to, even the person at Jerry's, was telling me, yeah, he's been here 3 years. He never had a problem before in his life. And then comes the running eyes, the, you know, the sneezing and everything else. So it's like, yeah, welcome to the Willamette Valley.
Your body also changes as you get older, so it may be just changing and it's happening to him.
What?
And it don't change as we get older.
Well, look like a teenager forever. What are you talking about?
You look like a teenager.
I'm getting old enough. I can see it happening. So I'm going to have to disagree with you.
I just think it's somebody else in that mirror when I look in there.
Robin looks 22 teen.
22 teen. Writing up a big bill here. 6 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. We're just kind of having fun today. It is a midweek test program. We're trying different things, and it's kind of a free-for-all. If you are happen to check us out right now while we're broadcasting, give us a call. We got 5 minutes left, plenty of time to join in, 646-721-9887. You might get addicted here like Richard, which I believe this is your first time on mic, isn't it?
It is my first time here, and you know what? I'm going to have to keep coming and doing this.
Yeah, see?
I don't think you can get rid of me now, Robin. You know that? You let me in, now it's like, you know, now you have to, like, it's like everybody else, get a restraining order.
See, there you go, folks. Talk shows is very addicting, whether you're on mic or you're on the telephone. Right,
well,
Cliff?
Especially something to talk about that you have any kind of fervor about, any kind of, that you have really interested in trying to spread your opinion as opposed to everyone else's opinion. Then it's when it really becomes fun.
That's right. And everybody has opinions, just like they have. Moving right
along.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Do you realize that children are swallowing batteries is becoming a real problem because batteries are getting smaller and they're getting more and more different formulas for batteries. And we're now, there are estimated 5,525 emergency room visits caused by batteries in 2009 only, in the year 2009. And the most of them are children under five. They swallow batteries. They swallow little button batteries, but they swallow C cells and D cells and A cell or A's and double A's. Kids swallowing batteries. You'd think people, parents would be more begin to think of.
Well, it's just like a hand soap recently. I can't remember the exact name of the product, but this happened, I believe, this week, where hand conditioner, I believe it was, that they saw this on a YouTube channel, and they dumped a little bit outside on fire, and of course it's just a gel, and it caused a lot of damage. But apparently some kids have also been drinking this stuff because of the alcohol in it to try and get drunk.
That's insane.
Well, kids will try to eat or drink almost anything to get some sort of a high, and that's becoming absurd. We are not doing a decent process of teaching our children about things of different types of things. We don't pay much attention to our children that I can see right now. Our families are too busy working to make a living. That's something, again, it goes right back to the president. We've got to make life a little easier as far as having at least one of the parents home to take care of the kids instead of having the kids living this whole thing on their own. Children are raising themselves at this point.
Well, isn't that up to the schools? I mean, just like, was it Maryland, I believe, that wanted to ban bake sales because of the fact that some of the cupcakes and stuff contain sugar, and you can't have pizza because that wouldn't be good to the kids either. They actually did change their mind on that, by the way, after it made the news. But, but what did happen is, like, for example, the lunch that a parent packed for their child and the school decided that it wasn't nutritious enough, took the lunch away, and offered them chicken nuggets.
Actually, no. The school's much more interested in worrying about the ridiculous stuff. They're worried about the stuff that you eat that doesn't hurt you, and they don't worry about batteries and different soaps and things that you could ingest that could kill you or whatever different ridiculous things that the kids are eating that are trying to make them high. They don't get involved in that. They get involved instead in the stuff that you're eating for lunch and that they think is good for you. The schools are way off base in what they're worried about.
Well, it's the parents not being allowed to be parents again either. But anyways, we're running out of time. As the music in the background is going, again, if you happen to be listening to this program, like I say, it is a midday or midweek test program. We, of course, always welcome your emails, talk@krbnradio.com. And feel free to tell us hi or tell us to go away, which we will totally ignore you. But we'll be back on a normal time next Monday, 1 p.m. Bye.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.